Hailing from Louisville, Kentucky, he was a polarizing figure in the world of sports, but Muhammad Ali's reach extended beyond your typical athlete. Not just a boxer, he used his extraordinary platform to spread pride, peace, and prosperity. Ali battled Parkinson's disease for 32 years. He passed away at the age of 74 on Friday night in Arizona after respiratory complications. Al Martin, host of WKAR's Current Sports, joins us here to talk a little bit about the greatest. Hi, Al.
How are you doing, Mark?
I am well. We're also joined by Current State Scott Pohl. We've heard of some number of Michigan people who have met Ali because he lived for so many years in Berrien Springs. Scott, you're one of them. Where and how did you meet Muhammad Ali?
Well, it was 1998, and I was sitting in O'Hare Airport in Chicago with my wife, Sherry. I remember the year clearly because Sherry was pregnant with our daughter, Morgan, and what happened led me to thinking about how Sherry, all the time, pregnant women, when they see a baby, it's like, oh, a baby, you know. We were sitting in an airport, I was reading something, and Sherry grabbed my knee and said, Scott, what? I just figured it was another baby. Well, this couple had approached the counter where we were sitting, and so they had their backs to me, and I was, what? I didn't see anything special about them. She goes, I think that's Muhammad Ali. And I saw that his hand was shaking, and I figured she was right. So people started sneaking around to get a better look, and I figured out it was him, and I approached the woman he was with. I confess I don't recall if it was his wife or someone who was helping him, but I said, do you think it'd be okay to say hello? And she goes, of course.
Really? That was a response?
Wow. Oh, yeah. So we waited till he sat down. Everyone approached him. Huge line. The University of Illinois gymnastics team happened to be in the airport. The entire team ran through the terminal to get to Muhammad Ali. He posed for every picture. He signed every autograph, which took some time because he was shaky at that time. But I got to look him in the eye, call him champ to his face. And I had just the week before watched the documentary called When We Were Kings, which is about the fight in Africa with
right.
George Foreman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I got to tell him I had just seen that movie, how amazing it was, and what an honor it was to meet him. So a brief encounter and a lifetime of memories.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's too cool. That's too cool. I can't top that, Mark.
And that's the show.
Better stories out there, but I like that one.
Thank you, Scott.
Sure.
That's really, really interesting. What was your initial reaction after hearing the news of Ali's passing, Al?
Well, I think it was just sheer shock, just like everybody out there. I mean, I had gone to the Lansing Lugnuts game that Friday evening, and I was with my fraternity brother, and we had went across the street to the Nut House, and we're sitting there eating dinner, and I happened to just look up and peek up at the ESPN broadcast, Mark, and I saw 1942-2016 Muhammad Ali, and I stopped what I was doing. I said, whoa, is that what I'm reading real? Is Muhammad Ali really, has he just passed away? And my frat brother, he stopped what he was doing. And there was just like this buzz that went around the entire restaurant. Just shock, sadness, and then, of course, reflection as the weekend went on. And you see all this candid footage of Ali back in the day and some of his most famous moments and famous fights. Just a sad moment, but one that you look back and say, what a career. What a career.
He had particular ties to Michigan that we alluded to here earlier. Remind our listeners how that came to be.
Very close ties to the state of Michigan, Mark. Actually, when you look at his ties to this state, after he retired, he lived in Berrien Springs, Michigan, until the mid-2000s. He had an 85-acre estate along the St. Joseph River in Berrien Springs, lived there until the mid-2000s. He was involved in multiple charities, always doing things for kids in schools in the area there. And in 1999, him and his wife were a part of an effort to try and get more people to become foster parents as well. And there are countless stories locally here in the state about Ali's impact right here in Michigan. And later on Current Sports this afternoon, we'll be inviting Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, a famous boxer in this state in his own right. And Bob had a very cool relationship, firsthand relationship with Muhammad Ali as well, which we'll be talking about later on this afternoon.
How do we see Ali's impact on today's athletes? Do we see it?
We certainly do, Mark. It's really inevitable when you look at just the landscape of sports today, just the fanfare You know, and what amazes me about Muhammad Ali is that Ali, when we all know about the epic rants and the epic quotes that he used to have throughout his fight career. It's amazing to me because when you look at today's athlete, you see a lot of that within the sport of boxing. One of the most notable boxers that come to mind is Floyd Mayweather Jr. Floyd is always running his mouth, tooting his own horn. And that's exactly what Muhammad Ali, that's the kind of aura that he had with him during his fight career. But the thing about Ali is, what makes it so interesting is that Ali could talk smack and toot his own horn, but people loved him for it. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, when you see an athlete do that, you know, they kind of look at it as that villain, you know? So it's kind of a catch-22 when having that discussion, but you see that all the time. A lot of boxers, you know, talking trash and pumping themselves up. I think that the money in today's sports, you know, Ali was not just a boxer. He was a brand as well. And I really think that when you look at his career, he pubbed himself so much that he became his own brand. He flocked people to the televisions. And I think you see that a lot in today's athlete as well.
It's interesting how he could be such an amusing, entertaining guy, and at the same time, he was at the heart of some of the 60s, especially 60s, most newsworthy. I mean, his conversion to Islam, his opposition to the Vietnam War. You were apt to encounter Muhammad Ali in the sports pages or in the news section. You know, you never knew where he was going to show up.
He was more than just an athlete, as you just stated in the introduction, Mark. And I think that Ali was one of the first athletes to open that door of, from a perception standpoint, of the average Joe looking at athletes as just a guy who goes out there and dribbles a basketball, catches a pass, or throws a punch. Athletes have the ability now to use their platform for something greater than that. And I think you've seen a lot of athletes that have came after Ali do that very thing.
What's Ali's most memorable fight, in your opinion?
Oh, man. Well, I walked in, Mark, and you know what? Right now I'm wearing a Muhammad Ali T-shirt, right?
Right.
This is from the Ali and Sonny Liston number two fight, where Ali knocks out Sonny and he's throwing his fist left and right and pumped up. I love that fight, but I have to go with, of course, the Rumble in the Jungle, as Scott just alluded to, March of 1967, you know, to October 1970. I mean, that moment as well, because that stands out to me, is because that's when Ali left boxing. But for me, that fight between George Foreman, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle, stands out so much to me, October 30 of 1974, because he had just defeated, you know, Joe Frazier, and you see all this hype about George Foreman being this mammoth of a man who can knock out a man with just one blow. And that was the adoption of the rope-a-dope. I mean, how many times have we heard the rope-a-dope brought up in just everyday sports talk, no matter what the sport is, right? And just that fight had so much drama to it. It was so memorable because you thought Ali was going to lose the fight. I mean, he's getting pounded. He's on the ropes the entire way. And then, what, in the last few rounds, something happens, something clicks, and Ali ends up winning the fight via TKO. I mean, that fight is just unbelievable.
Hard to pick one, but that one certainly got an awful lot of notoriety. But the one immediately preceding it, fighting Joe Frazier, I want to say in the Philippines, there was an awful lot of anticipation
around that.
That's
the thriller in Manila.
The thrill in Manila, absolutely. What should the legacy of Muhammad Ali be?
You know, I thought about that question this morning, Mark, and I struggle with answering that question because of one thing. It's really hard to put a man like Muhammad Ali in one box. It's impossible because, again, he wasn't just an athlete. He was a man who transcended culture. He transcended society, and he made it cool and comfortable to stand up for what you believe in. I think when people look at the life and legacy of Muhammad Ali, I think that they will look at him as a humble man, as a man who dominated in the ring and in the realm of sports, but who also made sure to leave a footprint that extended well beyond just athletics.
More with Al Martin here this afternoon on Current Sports, 1 o'clock on WKAR AM 870. Bob Every will join Al with more on Muhammad Ali. And don't forget Current Sports TV Thursday night at 10:30. On WKAR-TV. Al, thanks for joining us.
Hey, anytime, Mark. Thank you.